Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another Talking Rugby Union video podcast. So for those that are listening to the audio, there is a video of this as well, so you can look at our ugly mugs talking about the rugby returning this weekend. I'm joined, as you can probably tell, if you're watching, because there's two formats of this time. For the first time in a long time, there's two formats to this. Chris Hill. Chris, it's been a while.
First time in a long time we've been able to record in the same room, not over Zoom.
I miss Zoom.
Yeah, so no, it's good to be back with the rugby finally back this weekend. So why not do a podcast and a video to celebrate that?
Yeah, and to be fair, I think it's what, the only second time we've been in the office. We were meant to do a podcast last time we were in the office, but we were just kind of rushed off our feet, really, because for some reason, I don't know why. But yeah, so obviously rugby's back. Round 14 of the Premiership is finally happening. After, let's look at the hiatus on this one. Last time we had Premiership rugby was the first week of March.
Yeah, was it? I think it was Bristol Quins, wasn't it? The last game.
Yeah, and then we were meant to have Prem Rugby Cup final the week after that. Yes. Or was it 2 weeks after that? It was European, and then it was Prem Rugby Cup final. And then someone at Quins came down with the Rona.
Yes, I think that was the chain of events, if you like, Joe. So, yeah, it has been a very, very long time, hasn't it? So.
Yeah, and who would ever have thought we would have had summer rugby?
I know. It seemed a dream to most people. I mean, while we're filming today, Joe, it's absolutely glorious, isn't it? And, you know, people would be loved to be flocking to these stadiums on a Friday and Saturday and Sunday in the glorious sunshine to watch their team play. But, yeah, it's exciting. It really is exciting to see how teams come back and how sort of teams adapt to play rugby in August. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, no, it's going to be good fun. It's going to be a lot of rounds very close together. So there's going to be a lot of talking points around that in the coming weeks. We're probably not going to go into them today, but there definitely are going to be some coming up. We'll start with where it was really kind of left off, because it was Quins Sale final at the AJ Bell Rugby Cup final. It's not the Rugby Cup final. I mean, they could probably actually do it like that. I think it should be the final.
Yeah. But Sale would argue it was supposed to be at Sale. So, home advantage on a Friday night in Manchester. We know it works.
I think they would have loved that. But it is a Friday night game that kicks us off. 14th of August, we have Harlequins playing host to the Sale Sharks. We'll talk about Sale because I think there's a very obvious thing that's happened in the last few weeks. Manu Tuilagi signing for Sale Sharks after being released from his contract at Leicester Tigers, which therefore makes him eligible to be lining up against Harlequins on Friday night. Who ever thought we'd see the day that there was no Tuilagis at Welford Road?
Yeah, I think before, you know, all this happened, Joe, seeing him move away from Leicester would have been unthinkable. And obviously Leicester's situation was kind of played out in front of the media. I know they weren't too happy about that, but as soon as it was sort of revealed that quite a few of the high-profile players weren't sort of agreeing to the new terms, and you can understand both sides of the story there, that Leicester wanted to nail their star men down to probably reduce contracts, whereas the players themselves say, well, no, we need this money to carry on living the life we are. So Manu's obviously taken that decision to move on, and I think from a Sale perspective, it's fantastic. I know Steve Diamond was asked about it probably a week and a half before it actually got announced. He said he wasn't interested, but that's the oldest trick in the book when it comes to sport and transfers. But yeah, what a signing for Sale. I mean, they didn't need any more firepower to have, for me, still one of the stars of the world game now playing at the AJ Bell, and hopefully from a Sale point of view, guide them into some much needed silverware that they crave, will be a fascinating watch over these next 9 rounds.
Yeah, and it's interesting in itself that his contract is the same length as it would have been if he'd stayed at Tigers. So at 2021, post Lions tour, probably. Mm. He wants to be a Lion, I imagine, again. Post Lions tour, he's then free again to explore his options, unless he wants to stay with Sale, or if he wants to go to France, you know, whatever it is, or rugby league, which was talked about when I interviewed Manu in Birmingham, when we were allowed near people. That was a long time ago in itself.
I think as well on that, Joe, Eddie Jones said that he had a bit of a chat with Manu, and it, he didn't persuade him to stay in England, but I think Manu's intentions were clear that he wants to carry on playing for England. We know his international career and his probably rugby career has been, you know, affected by injuries. He wants to give England another go, but as you quite rightly say, the British and Irish Lions is less than 12 months away now, and if he has any ambitions of going to South Africa, he'd would have had to stay in the English Premiership, and that's exactly what he's done.
Yeah, no, of course. And across, obviously, that Sale Sharks squad is absolutely stacked. I think I've seen today that they've got an announcement at 12 about another... They said someone joining the Sale Sharks family. It's probably going to be something really budget, and I've been absolutely duped. But, you know, they're talking about that maybe even more additions coming to the AJ Bell. Harlequins. What's the big news? Obviously, Chris Robshaw announced he was going to San Diego Legion, but he's staying until the end of this kind of block. So... no huge news there. Who's come back? Joe Marchant's back.
That's probably the biggest news for Quinns fans. I mean, we managed to speak to him on that podcast we did ahead of the New Zealand Super Rugby restart, didn't we, Joe? And he was, he was loving his life over there, and he's now kind of gone into his third pre-season of the season. I'm sure he would have learned so much playing in New Zealand, and it's brilliant for Paul Gustard and the Quinns to have him back. And as you say, obviously Robshaw will get the chance to see how what has been a fantastic career for him at Quinns, and he's been a great servant, and he's got his new chapter with the MLR as well. So, but this is the thing, they've still got an exciting squad. Quinns will be probably disappointed with the way the first half of the season went for them, considering how close they were to getting into that top four last season. And they'll probably want to try and kick on in these last nine games. I know it's still pretty tight anyway, as the Premiership has been in the last couple of years. So Quinns will want to hit the ground running. I mean, Friday night against Sale, it's not the easiest task. As we just touched on there, the firepower which Sale will bring and sort of their own aspirations. But if Quinns can get off to a good start, that would be a perfect way to begin the restart for them.
Yeah, so I've just decided we're going to do pulls on this one. So I'm going to say... I'm just going to say Quinns by 3. Marcus Smith, I just feel like there's going to be something there. They've got a bit more nous, yeah. I think.
Yeah, and obviously no Sinclair anymore in the front row.
No, but I just...
do you know what? I'm going to fancy Sale. You know, Sale's a club that the closest club to me, and I'm going to fancy Sale, and Manu will be the star of the show. Scripts there.
Man behind the camera, who's going to win, Sale or Quinns?
Quinns.
Hey!
Don't know who that is. Some weirdo just stepped behind. we're looking forward to that, aren't we, Joe? And obviously we've got an interview as well this week for the video, for those watching, and you'll be able to listen to the audio with Quinns prop Simon Kerrod. So as I just said there, we are now joined by Harlequins' Simon Kerrod to chat about all things Premiership Rugby, and of course Quinns taking on Sale on Friday night to kick things off. So Simon, thanks very much for giving us your time and joining us on this TRU podcast/video ahead of the Premiership restart. How's things with you, and are you looking forward to getting back up and running on Friday?
Yeah, no, it's been a while, obviously with lockdown and things like that. A lot of training in the dark, training not knowing what's going on, just trying to keep fit. I'm really excited to get back stuck in. It's been, like I said, a really long time, so just very excited to get back into it.
Yeah, and I've noticed during lockdown you've become a father as well, if that's right?
Yes, just before, about Christmas time, we realised we were pregnant, and then, during lockdown towards the end, became a father, so that's exciting times as well. It was good.
So being keeping busy then as well as the rugby.
Very, very busy. The sleep deprivation is real.
and in terms of sort of the rugby side of things, Simon, has this kind of been the longest pre-season in your history? Because I guess you're probably more physically prepared than you've ever felt before.
Yeah, definitely. I think especially with lockdown was essentially a pre-season in itself. And then we just had like another pre-season now. So yeah, it's been really long. But just trying to keep, roll on with the fitness, kind of took a bit of time out in the beginning of lockdown, got a bit refreshed. And I think that actually has helped. A lot of guys have said how much that actually has helped. So, and then this preseason now was actually a little bit shorter, just towards getting ready back to playing. But definitely with lockdown included, it was ridiculous.
And I mean, in terms of the lads coming back into the environment, is everyone looking as fit and sharp as they could be? Have you been maybe pleasantly surprised by how the fitness levels are within the group?
Yeah, definitely. Everyone came in good shape. I think the guys took it on themselves to just stay in shape, which was really good to see, especially with it being such a long break away from the game. You know, some guys, you're a bit nervous. They might come back out of shape. But, at Quinns especially, I was really surprised. A lot of the boys came in better shape than they left.
Yeah, and for you, Simon, as well, it seems like you're really enjoying sort of your time with Harlequin since you joined the club. I mean, you said on your arrival that what one thing that stood out for you was that environment and sort of the passion that Paul Gustard is sort of giving to you as players. Is that still bubbling away despite the long period without rugby?
Yeah, definitely. We kept each other motivated throughout lockdowns, a couple of Zoom calls here and there, just discussing where we needed to improve. We always had an eye on coming back, and we made sure that we still stuck to, you know, getting better. I mean, as from in terms of what we could do in lockdown, you know, the guys just, you know, we were doing video calls and chatting about what we could improve. And then when we came back to training, that was all basically ready to go because we had already chatted about that. So guys came back hungry. It's definitely still, you know, still fizzing away there. The guys are ready, and yeah, like I said, guys are very hungry.
Yeah, and it's been great to get back working with Adam Jones again. I know we spoke to Jordan Ells last week on the website, and he was saying he's been mightily impressed with what he's been able to learn off Adam Jones, and I know you've been full of praise for him in the past as well.
Yeah, he's an amazing coach. Bomb knows a lot about, especially me being a tight head, learning from one of the best of all time. You know, it's a privilege very few players have. He definitely knows the nuts and bolts of what you need to do at scrum time, and he's been able to refine a lot of my game around that area, which I'm very, you know, happy about. So that's what I say about that.
Yeah, and in terms of you personally, Simon, a lot has been talked about kind of the competition for places that's going to be up for grabs, because we know as players it's going to be a tough few weeks for you in terms of the scheduling. But if I go back to you personally, you seem to be on a great run of form in terms of you getting minutes under your belt. I think you've probably only missed maybe two or three Premiership games off the top of my head this season. So are you keen to try and pick up from where you left off before the lockdown?
Definitely, you know, trying to, you know, keep momentum going as best I can. And like you just alluded to there, there's a lot of competition, especially with Vilko having signed, and you've got Will Collier, who's an international. And, you know, the depth at this club is probably one of the, you know, the biggest. It's got the best depth that I've ever been in terms of position at tight end especially. So for me, it's just about improving and continually getting better and just taking those opportunities that I get. You know, it's important to, like you said, build on that momentum. I'm just trying to keep my head down and carry on working.
Yeah. And one of the things that's been quite prevalent throughout lockdown, Simon, is kind of the topic around Black Lives Matter. And I know Danny Kerr did a brilliant sort of conversation about it on the BBC Rugby Union Weekly podcast. And he said that you guys at Quins have had a chat, and it's all about sort of promoting the message and having a stance against this. And is that really positive that Quins of a club have sort of listened to everybody's thoughts in it and are going to take your own action moving forward?
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's guys in the club, you know, like Aaron and Nathan, they've been quite vocal about it. And, you know, we've, you know, had to look at ourselves and see what we can change. But I think that as a club, Quins is definitely against racism. There's no doubt about that. So going forward, you know, I think there'll be things that are being planned and that, you know, they'll come out.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see that across the Premiership over the course of the weekend, Simon. And just finally for me, on to the rugby and on to Friday night, Sale coming to the Stoop. I'm sure you're really excited by the fact that rugby's back. But what's kind of Quins' ambitions for the rest of the season, do you think?
Well, you know, we just got to, you know, be consistent with our performance. When we are consistently performing well, we are dangerous, you know. It comes back to just doing the basics, right, taking the opportunities when they come round, you know, be that kicking penalties into touch, making sure they're in touch, kicking at goal, you know, whatever it is, finishing mauls, you know, any kind of opportunity that we get in the field of play, we need to take it. And I think if we are consistently doing that, then we'll get the results. We're just looking to get back to where we were and, you know, push on throughout the season with winning.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Sam. Well, we're all looking forward to that Friday night clash between Harlequins and Sale. Go well for the rest of the season, Simon. And thanks so much for giving us your time this evening.
Cheers, bro. No problem. Thank you.
Many thanks to Simon for his time there. And now I'm looking forward to Saturday. We've got a bit of a Midlands derby. Worcester versus Gloucester. Midlands?
I'm not having Gloucester.
Borderline?
No.
Mate, they're covered by BBC West Mids. I would know this.
I don't think it's the West Mids.
But no, so that's kind of the M5 derby. We'll call it the M5 derby. So Worcester recently announced Ted Hill, club captain, Will Butler, vice captain, both really young players, 21 and 22. And it seems, and I did an interview with Solomon, Alan Solomons, about that. And it seems like they're really trying to make a Worcester identity there.
Yeah, just reading the couple of pieces, Joe, from last week. They seem to have a culture which they want to bring to Worcester. Obviously, this season they don't have the threat of a relegation battle, which they have been embroiled in the past, obviously with Saracens' salary cap breaches. So they have got a chance to maybe develop a culture that can work. And just sort of reading what you put together from Alan and Billy Searle last week, it does seem that way.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, what I didn't really put in that interview was that Solomons believes they can finish in the top eight. Because, I mean, realistically, I mean, they're above Tigers at the minute. Mm. They're 2 points above Tigers. They're 4 points adrift from Gloucester. So a good win on Saturday, like early afternoon. Realistically, they're putting themselves in a good place. And they've brought in Matt Kvesic, you know, and they've actually really not changed that squad of players too much. They've lost Ryan Bowen to Tigers, but he's going back to where he's from. So it's not really a big deal there. And they're bringing through these young players. I just feel like Worcester's a team that for so long hasn't been talked about and isn't talked about as what could be potentially be a powerhouse. But when you look at what is at Six Ways, you look at the players there, and we obviously know Ethan Waller. Ethan Waller loves the club. Mm. It just seems like there could be something there in the near future, maybe not this year, but having Ted Hill there, who's like a figurehead of what a Worcester player is. You know, he loves that place. Even Graham Kitchener coming back. Like, they're all things that add to this culture and this identity of Worcester. And that's something that the town doesn't have, because what do we know about Worcestershire? The cricket team? That's it. A football team that once got like to the third round of the FA Cup.
Yeah, I think Ted Hill is a good call, a big call from the club to put him as captain. But if you're looking at Worcester squad and, you know, you're trying to maybe highlight a leader, this is a man who is still very young. He's still, you know, he's been in the England squad. He played against Japan, didn't he, a couple of years ago. Eddie obviously rates him. Eddie does this thing where he'll bring him in and it'd be maybe not to speak about him for maybe a year and a bit and then bring him back in. But it's clear he's got the talent. He's been brilliant for Worcester. He's been sort of the spearhead of everything they've done really well. And to be honest, they did have a fantastic start to the season, if I remember rightly. I mean, it's ages ago, so it might be a bit sketchy, but they were in the top four, top five for a little bit of the season. So you're absolutely right, Joe. I mean, you know, Saturday lunchtime kickoff on their own patch against Gloucester. I'm sure they'll be up for it.
Yeah, and Gloucester have caused a bit of controversy. Obviously, George Skivington leaving London Irish to join Gloucester. London Irish saying it's against Premiership regulations, the way the approach was made, and obviously the appointment itself. You spoke to George last week?
Yeah, I was on the press conference with George last week at the club, and it was funny. He did shut down a question immediately about London Irish, which from his point of view, you can certainly understand. But yeah, it's interesting. You know, he is the youngest head coach in the league at 37. Mm-hmm. He's someone who knows the Premiership well. Success with Wasps, and from the outside looking in and doing a little bit of research with it, we managed on the same call. Lewis Ludlow was on there, and he, you know, just doing a bit of research around that, he put on Instagram drawing sort of the changes that were going on at Gloucester, like, you know, stand by us, and it was kind of a call and a rallying call to the fans saying, you know, stand by us, this change is good, we're going to be better for it in the long term. And if you were of the Gloucester persuasion, if you like, and you're seeing Johan Ackerman go, Humphreys go.
It must have been those, a horrid few weeks.
That. Some of those key players as well going all across the world.
Yeah.
You're thinking, well, hang on, we finished the top four last year. And yes, it's been not the same sort of success so far this season, but the backbone of our what we've been building over the last 12, 18 months is now sort of just started to crumble away a little bit. Mm. So speaking to George last week, it's quite reassuring if you were a Gloucester fan, because he said, well, this is the direction you want to go in. These are the people I've brought in. Don Waldock, obviously, we've spoken before to Joe on Talking Rugby Union. He's in there now, Premiership experience. Alex King, who was with Wasps, Premiership experience, worked with Danny Cipriani. And it does seem that now they've got that sorted, they can really just forget about what's happening. I mean, I put in the piece the other day that you couldn't probably harsh to call it a repair job, because it wasn't really a repair job, but they managed to get people in quickly to sort of bridge the gap that was left by Ackerman and Humphreys. And they'll want to concentrate on the rugby now, because there's absolutely no doubt there's some serious talent in that Gloucester side. And if they can get the combination of Danny Cipriani and Johnny May flying, then they could do some real force towards the end of the season.
Well, I just feel like they have a completely clean state, clean slate in the way that a lot of other teams don't have, because they've had a complete change in that back room. So what they can do is now they can play these like 6-7 games, whatever it is, and just try and get things ready. Yeah. Because Waldock's, what, 32? This is his first like proper big coaching job. Don't get me wrong, he's done great things with Oxford, and he was helping out with Newcastle a lot, and that's why Nick Easter's gone in to Newcastle as defence coach, because Waldock basically was doing the defence at Falcons. So I think they've got that there. But the thing is, I know all of these coaches are friends because they've all played together at some point and they're all like roughly similar ages. So there is a worry that have all these guys got it on merit, or have they got it because, oh, I played with him 2 years ago?
I think with Alex, I think 100% he's there on merit. I think what he's been able to do in the relationship he's had at Wasps, especially with those players, which will help the fact he's got a great relationship with arguably the best player, Danny Cipriani. But what was interesting, George said, yeah, we are great friends.
Yeah.
But when that makes us not afraid to call each other out if we don't think something's right or this should be done differently, because that they all get on, they know each other inside out, they know each other well. So if they do disagree on things, they'll be able to sort it, but they won't be afraid to call each other out. And I think that balance which you have of being friends but able to be comfortable enough to say, nah, we should do that better, I think is a decent formula for Gloucester.
Yeah, no, excellent point. Just after that kickoff, we have Exeter versus Leicester Tigers. Exeter, surely they've just got to try and maintain as much kind of fluidity as they had before the break.
Absolutely. I think everyone talked about it when Saracens' punishment came, that this was a massive chance for Exeter to get the hands back on the Premiership trophy. Yeah. We know they've been close before and Saracens have been that thorn in the side. But on top of that is European aspirations as well. I know that's not till September, I think, Joe, or October time.
September,
yeah. And I think a lot of the talk around Christmas time this year, at the start of the year when the European group stages were finishing, was Exeter have got a great chance in Europe too. So it'll be very interesting to sort of see how they balance the rest of the season, because as you said before, Joe, the way it's scheduled, Rob Baxter's going to have to rotate. You can't expect players to play 80 minutes on a Saturday and go again on a Wednesday or a Thursday or whenever it is. It's just not possible for player welfare. So it'll be interesting to see how they do that, and then if they're going to combine sort of the rest of the season and then bleed that into the European campaign. It's going to be interesting. They've got Northampton, haven't they, in the last eight of the Champions Cup. So I think they're in a fantastic position. And if they can, as you say, Joe, pick up from where they left off, I think they'll be 100% on the way to Twickenham. And we'll see what Europe brings as well.
Yeah, and Tigers, let's be honest, if Saracens hadn't been relegated preemptively, Tigers would be bottom of the table right now.
Sort of Steve Borthwick coming in, Joe, I think if that was the case, that they could still potentially get relegated, it'd be a big shit for them to turn around. Yeah. And I know there's still problems are still there. It's listening to the Rugby Union Weekly podcast this morning on the way into the office, and Danny Kerr made a great point. He was saying that I think they've lost 23 of the last 35 Premiership games.
Jesus.
Which is, for people who have been watching rugby for the last decade, will know that that is not Leicester Tigers' form.
Staggering, but, yeah.
I just think that, yes, the relegation thing is, you know, something that they will be relieved about, but there's still a lot of work for Leicester to get back to where they want to get back to, and the way sort of the contract situation and their financial sort of situation was handled and being brought out into the media and the press wasn't what the club wanted. But I tell you what, they've been brilliant in terms of speaking to players about the situation. Leicester and the media team deserve a lot of credit for that, and Steve's been open and honest about it, and he said, right, a new leaf needs to be turned now. This is a fresh start for Leicester. And they're hopefully, listening to them and listening to the players, they seem to be heading in a direction where, or on the same page rather, where they do want to turn their fortunes around. And it'd be interesting to definitely see how they get on under a new regime.
Yeah, no, definitely. I've just realised I forgot to ask, Worcester or Gloucester tomorrow? Saturday.
I'm going to go with Worcester.
Ooh. Yeah, same, to be honest.
Worcester.
Man behind the camera.
Worcester.
Ooh, Worcester whitewash. Who would have thought that a few months ago?
Building the accumulator here. Going on what Max says.
Exeter versus Leicester.
Exeter win. Exeter. Oh, win.
Leicester.
Ooh.
Not doing an accumulator.
No, definitely not. Bath versus London Irish. Now.
You were speaking to the London Irish last week, Joe, weren't you?
I think I was speaking to London Irish the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. What's kind of, I mean, we've seen a few press releases from them this week, but what's kind of the vibe coming out of Hazelwood going into this restart?
I think it's really positive. I think they've had a chance to kind of look at things that maybe weren't working and then actually kind of, not preempt, but kind of re-evaluate exactly what they want to happen. And for me, when you look at that squad, it's stacked with internationals. They've got Sean O'Brien, they've got all these Australian guys, they've got Wasaki Naholo, they've got all these guys that, although Naholo's not actually going to play on Saturday because he had some sort of surgery when he was back in New Zealand. They seem in a good place. And I think, obviously, Skivington leaving probably didn't help, but they've actually maintained continuity because it's one of the academy coaches that's moved into that role that Skivington was doing at Hazelwood. So it could be much... It could be much worse in terms of exactly what's going to go on there. But is it a case of it's the old London Irish? But the thing is, I think they've got a strong group of players to actually kind of maintain some sort of a journey that they want to achieve in the next few years.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. It's going to be an interesting time. And I think the threat of relegation as well, not being there, Joe, will help them sort of build over the next 12 months or so in this pack schedule that we've got coming up with rugby. And in terms of Bath, I mean... again, they seem to be a club for me over the last 12 months, Joey. You know, they might have a couple of good results and there'll be a couple of bad results here and there. And I guess the transition's still there under Stuart Hooper. But one thing that I completely forgot about until I saw a picture of him today, that Ben Spencer's obviously with Bath. Yes. So that's should be a very exciting addition for those fans of the Rec.
Well, they've struggled really with the halfbacks, I'd say, in the last few years. I think that was where... That was their strength, wasn't it, when they were doing really well. It was Ford and Foto Alihi playing nine generally. So, like, that was where their strength was. And then suddenly, as soon as Ford leaves, and then you're chopping and changing Priestland, Burns, and then, like, whoever was at scrum half, like, they had was it Chudley that was at Tigers at one point?
Yes.
Like, they had him in, and then they had, like, all these academy guys. And it was like, there wasn't really that confluency that you'd had before. Mm. And obviously they've had injuries. Everyone knows that Bath have had a horrific run of injuries in the last few years. But I just don't... I don't see where they are. I don't see the direction they're going in. And it's like they want to build this new stadium, but they can't do it. That's probably not going to have been helped by COVID. Mm. And then they let a lot of guys go.
They did. And I mean on the flip side of what you just said there, Joe... Doing the stuff we did with Levi Davis last week for TRU Talks, we asked him at the end how excited he is for the Premiership restart and whether Bath are in the right hands, and he could not have been more positive around Stuart Hooper. And I don't know whether that's because of the great relationship he seemingly had with him around leaving the club to go and do the X Factor and whatever, but it does seem like the players do respect Stuart because he's been around the club. He is someone who knows Bath really well. So these things might just take time. And it's a shame because we know what Bath can do. They've got a great squad on paper. They really do have some brilliant, brilliant players on paper. But these things may take time and we may not really see the real Bath until next season, but we'll have to see.
Yeah. I just think they're missing something. I can't put my finger on what it is. I think there's just one position or maybe like two... Maybe they're just not 100% on, but that's kind of that one. Bath or London Irish?
Having said all that, I think I fancy Bath at home. To be honest, I know it was not going to be the rec crowd there to roar them on, but yeah, I fancy Bath at home.
I'll have to go with Irish, I think.
Go for it.
Man behind the camera.
Irish.
Ooh, there we go.
You need to think about it.
No. Been thinking he's going off what we've said. Creevy. Yeah, of course, Augustine Creevy arriving today. Final game on Saturday is Bristol Bears at home to Saracens. Now there's a clash.
Yeah, Monday meeting, it was the game we highlighted, wasn't it, as the game of the weekend. And I mean, yeah, couldn't really have picked a better fixture, I think, for the Saturday evening. Was it 3 o'clock?
Half past four.
Early evening, brilliant way to start your Saturday evening, I think, with that game. Bristol, we know what they're capable of. We've seen this season, we've seen that some of the players have been able to bring in as well due to the situation we find ourselves in. And you know, they've got to be targeting not only a top four finish but a Premiership final potentially as well. So For me, they're the most exciting team to watch in the Premiership. Yep. And yeah, really looking forward to that one on Saturday.
Yeah, and they're third at the minute. And I know how disappointed they were when I spoke to Charles Pietau last year about not even finishing in the top six. So I think they're really going to push this year. I think they're in a good place. They've got Rodrado, they've got Sinclair. I don't know who is clear to play and who isn't at this stage. That's kind of still up in the air. I mean, for me anyway. Maybe that's just me not reading press releases. But yeah, I think they're going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, Pat Lamb did something which you'll be able to see in a few minutes' time in terms of his press day on Wednesday. And Luke Morahan was there as well. But Pat actually spoke to TRU as part of the Loosehead stuff we've been doing during lockdown. And when you touch on sort of how the disappointment of finishing the top six, not finishing in the top six, Pat said, there's clearly disappointment. We're not going to just keep the bar at the same height. We're going to go again and try and get into that top four and try and challenge for silverware in Europe and in England. And I think that just shows the vision that this club have. Pat is, having listened to him, and I only spoke to him a couple of times, but having listened to him on that podcast, unbelievably inspiring. It's not a surprise to see where Bristol are going under his leadership, and some of the players have been able to bring in as well, as we just said there, makes it an exciting prospect. And yeah, Bristol, I was going to say, Joe, we'd do some predictions at the end, but I think Bristol would probably be my tip to maybe go and win it this year, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, but then you talk about they're coming up against Saracens team that still has Owen Farrell, Mako Vunipola, Billy Vunipola, Elliot Daly, probably some more names that I've just forgotten. Pretty good team.
It's interesting whether these guys are going to feature. You'd like to say they will, because there's no doubt about it. Saracens will be targeting September in that quarterfinal against Leinster in the Champions Cup. They will.
Definitely.
And the problem they've got is Mark McCaw will have to strike a balance between giving these players enough game time and also keeping his stars fit and well, because the challenge of playing Leinster we know is going to be massive. And how much are they going to gain from playing these next nine games? Not a lot. Yeah. But I think to start with, I think you will definitely see, hopefully, Saracens play some of those big stars to get them back into that rhythm and generate some momentum, and then they can potentially take that into those quarterfinals.
Yeah, and of course they're already lining up a lot of their kind of championship talent, inverted commas for anyone that's listened to the podcast. You know, they've got their championship players involved in that squad as well. So they're kind of fighting on two fronts already, in terms of they're trying to work out what the best squad is already for next season when they're in the champ, and they're trying to work out what's going to happen now. Obviously, we don't even know where the champ is, but that's a different matter
entirely.
I think
that might be a win-win then for Saracens, because they can see who's going to work in the championship for them, but also then give your likes of Farrell, Toji, Vunipola, Daly a rest that 1 week and say, go on, let's see some of these championship talent, as you said there, Joe, play in one of those remaining nine games of the season for them. So they do have a clear idea of where they stand going into the new season, the new championship season, but also going into the Champions Cup as well before that.
Yeah. Do you know if the Saracens loan players are allowed to play against Saracens?
I was just thinking, I should have looked at that before. And
yeah. No, it just occurred to me.
I don't think they are they?
I don't know, because it's different in different places and different sports and stuff. So that's kind of all up in the air. But I'm going to say Saris.
Bristol for me.
Oh, I just feel like Saris has got a point to prove.
I also think Bristol have as well. I also think Bristol have that point to sort of, and possibly with Bristol as well, I don't know whether this will work because it's the first game back, but if you're looking at two teams above them, Sale and Exeter would have already played by the time Bristol play. So based on what I've said, if Sale win, Exeter win, Bristol will there be like, right, now we've got to go and make a statement to keep the chase. So that's why I'd go Bristol.
Okay, I'm going to say, man behind the camera.
Bristol.
I've been outnumbered for once. Interesting. Sunday sees the final game of the... Oh, no, of course. Chris has just reminded me. Very good. We have video interviews from each of these clubs. And we're going to play them now, obviously ahead of Saturday afternoon's clash. Who do we have? We have Pat Lamb, Luke Morahan, Mark McCall, Elliot Daly.
Completely a whole focus, you know, obviously like anything, and what I've said all the time, you set your goals, what you want to achieve. At the start of the season, you reevaluate. So everyone, it's like Formula One, everyone's starting in different positions. And as you know, even though you might start in third position, that doesn't guarantee you're going to win. People can overtake you, or you can push forward or stay the same. So, but once you start the race, it's about how you start. And everything is completely about Saracens. Once that game is over, then we'll worry about the next game and how what we've got. Of course, we have a plan on how we're going to do everything. But ultimately, our main thing is to make sure that every Bears team goes out as strong as a Bears team.
Yeah, and just the guy that everyone's speaking about, Sami Radradra. I'm sure not going to tell his team, but can we expect to see him this weekend? And what have his impressions been like in training? Shane Monahan just said you can expect to see things you've never seen before, was his quote.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's pretty fair and honest to say that the reaction that people have had when they've come and seen our high performance centre is what the players have probably done the same when they've watched Semi train. He's been pretty impressive. He's excited. He's fitted in extremely well, as have all the new players. And he's ready to go. You know, that was the whole thing. There's a lot of anticipation, excitement by all these players, but certainly with Semi around the world, you know, all eyes will be looking at him. And that's, again, one of the reasons that we brought him in, obviously for the Bristol team, but certainly for the Gallagher Premiership. That's what the marquee rule's about. That's what it was about. You know, I know I've always said this when I played in the Premiership, it is the best, it's the toughest competition. But you need to back that up with some world-class players, and there's the sprinkled around, you know, all the teams, really. And it's great that he's going to be playing in the Premiership rather than the top four team where he's been.
Just one thing that I wanted to pick up on was what you said before about sort of just focusing on the Saracens game and then taking the next games as it comes. But sort of what you've been building recently in the new training ground as well, it seems to be heading in the direction of a centre of excellence, if you like, at Bristol. Do you think you're nearing that or becoming that centre of excellence, do you think?
I think the that was the key reason why we made it the High Performance Centre, because while it's brand new, everyone's loving it and it's all good, but, you know, it was built, by the Lansdownes as part of the vision of a legacy for ever and ever. And we want to make sure that people understand that it's a high performance centre. So in 5, 10, 15 years, that's what it's about. So you come in here and it allows also, you know, I like a culture around, our relationships. So we build that so that we can challenge and, you know, to be able to help everyone say, well, hold on, that's awesome, that's high performance, or that's not high performance, whether you're staff or player. And it just sets the marker of what's needed to go next level. That we're not just it's not a rugby club or social. Of course we have social time, but ultimately we're here for people to be their best, to be at their best. And if we're not, then, you know, you can easily be replaced. And if we do that and everyone's being better, we grow as a team. The Bears become stronger and stronger. So answering your question, certainly from when I first joined the team to the growth that everyone has made to where we are now, we're on the upward curve, and we have expectations of ourselves first and foremost to be excellent, to be at high performance, to be world class, or to aim for it.
Some pretty special things. His offload ability is second to none. His line running, you know, some of the he's like an absolute torpedo into the line at times. He's big guy, he's physical, but very skillful at the same time. So expect to see things that I've never seen before, because that's what he'll bring. Even for us, we're sort of standing next to him, just wait to see what's going to happen. But a big physical presence in the game. I think you'll see him with a lot of ball carries and some really good, really, really good defensive reads at 13 as well. He reads the game well. He knows the game well. And you'll see that, I think. You'll see that in spades. He'll come out and show that he's world-class in those aspects.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Luke. And you mentioned, obviously, the Saracens game on the weekend, and it's probably argued that the Bristol fans are probably some of the best in the country, and unfortunately, you won't be able to play in front of them on the weekend. But how much are you determined to kind of put on a show for those guys?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's always better to put on a show when they're there in person, you know, because you get that crowd feedback. But, you know, I think people will be watching this game with quite a bit of excitement, just for many reasons. I think, obviously, Sarries have been the benchmark for a long time. And I think, you know, as I mentioned, they'll still be a very good team. Even though they've lost a couple of players here and there, they've got their core group still there of you know, Goud, Farrell, Toji, things like that, and George at the front there. So they've got that strong core there to be very good. And, you know, we've obviously brought in some great players as well, but our core group's still there as well. So that, you know, the guys at, I think, 17 out of the 23 top thing, you know, have been with us for a while. And I think that you'll see that. But it'll be an interesting game because it'll show where teams are at. It'll show, you know, how well teams have come through the lockdown and how well they're prepared and how well they're ready to go back into the season. And our goal is to, as I said, to, you know, not have any hiccups, and we're straight back into it and where we left off on that 5-game winning streak. We want to continue that. So they're sort of our focuses, but I think it'll be a great game from that aspect for the fans and the spectators in terms of seeing where the game's at and how well the players have prepared in this period.
Yeah, I just said last week that it's really important 12 months for us after all that's happened, and really important that we're looking forward. So every part of those 12 months is important. And what we weren't expecting really is to have the opportunity to play this amount of competitive games we'd have done to the championship. So there's a few things, you know, Robert, there's a couple of players who won't be playing again, haven't given incredible service to the club. There's some new players to mix in with some of our established international players. So for us, there's a lot to play for. And, you know, we're trying to set some good foundations in what feels like a bit of a new journey.
Yeah, I think just the weirdest thing is probably coming in and not actually allowed to play rugby for the first bit, which was a little bit weird. Just sort of coming in small groups and not touching each other and not like playing rugby, basically. So I mean, that was probably the hardest bit at the start. But when we got into it and the directors have come down, they've been pretty clear with it. So we've been able to get on with our stuff the last couple of weeks, which has been brilliant. And yeah, everyone's just looking forward to this game now.
The final game on Sunday is Northampton Saints at home to Wasps. We'll start off with Wasps. Transition for them, similar to Gloucester in my opinion. Now, I thought they were doing really badly this season, but I've just looked, they're fifth.
I think the form, I'm not sure whether this is a coincidence or not, but since Dai Young left, their form's was ridiculous.
Right.
I think they were on a really good run before lockdown, and I'm not sure why, but they seem to have, I don't know, maybe had the freedom to go out and try new things, but they were, because I know, they, as you said, Joe, they were really struggling, but I think if there was one club that didn't want the Premiership to stop in its tracks, would have been Wasps, because they were sort of making a surge, if you like, towards that top four. So you can't rule them out. You really can't. No. I mean, they were, you know, they made a late dart for it. I remember this, well, not this time last year, but last season. But I think they'll be... they will want to get a good win under their belt on the weekend.
Yeah, and they're only 2 points adrift of Northampton in fourth. So there's actually also that chance there. And I remember at the start of the season, we were talking about Northampton as this team that could be in the top two, get the home semi-final. But then all of a sudden, they're 2 points off a Wasps team that had a really awful start to the season. Mm. And they're only what? Let's take a look. They're only about 7 points off Challenge Cup. So there is a real big contrast there.
Yeah, yeah. And I think from a Northampton point of view, as you said, Joe, that flying start to the season, a lot of, once we knew what had gone on with Sarries, Northampton were very much in the praying for a top two finish and getting to the final. They did have a little dip before lockdown. They did obviously put the place in the quarterfinals with Champions Cup as well, but yeah, they'll want to sort of maybe restart again and maybe take some of those positives we saw in the first, getting confusing, but the actual first half of the season, right at the start, maybe even around this time, no, I believe in October time, wasn't it? October time, and bring that into August now, because if they can sort of reignite that form, they will definitely cement their place in the top four. But as you say, Joe, if the result goes against them on the weekend, then it does open the door for those teams that are behind them, your Quins, your Wasps. And yeah, I think that's, we said Bristol Saracens is a big game, but I think that in terms of table positioning could be a very, very interesting game on Sunday.
Yeah, we are going to have interviews from Northampton and Wasps. I don't know who I'm talking to at Wasps yet. Do you know you're 22
Northampton? No, it's still TBC. Ooh.
So that's a bit exciting. It's not. But, you know, that could be interesting. And we're going to have, not exclusive pieces, but we're going to have pieces on Northampton and Wasps, probably on Friday afternoon-ish, we think. I'm going to back Wasps.
I think I might go for Wasps as well. I think I will. Speaking to sort of Brad Shields and Tom Cruise as well during lockdown,
yeah,
they were both saying the momentum was really building there. And I think they can pick up from where they left off as well. I think they'll be raring to go and get that win on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, there's just not been too many changes with the squads as well, which means that it's just you're not going to be waiting for people to get used to playing in England and stuff, even though with the weather at the minute, probably wouldn't be too bad. Man behind the camera, because I'm refusing to use your name today, who you got, Northampton or Wasps?
Northampton.
Saints. I think we're going to have to make a graphic for this and actually try and remember what we're doing, because I don't want to start this now and then just completely forget, so that's probably my job, isn't it, really?
Well, I'm sure we'll remember. We can listen to it back and watch it back and tally it up as the weekend goes by.
Yeah. Group chat's going to not be good for me. I think I'm going to lose this weekend. That's everything that we've got for today. This podcast, this video podcast, probably makes more sense to say. It's been good.
Yeah, one of the other things we've got to mention, Joe, as well, is we've decided to do a Talking Rugby Union Young Player of the Round. Also, the TRU team are going to pick out sort of a few names between us. But, I mean, if anybody kind of has any suggestions and think we may have missed somebody across the course of the weekend, do get in touch on Twitter and Instagram and a Facebook tweet just to say, oh, this guy's had a great game, and we can completely rip up our suggestions and go with that person. So it's something we wanted to do for a while on TRU, and it's emerging talent, something that's been pretty much part of the website since it first launched. So to maybe have a dedicated sort of award, if you like, for those young players who are performing is something we're looking forward to.
So parameters for young players is 21 and under?
21 and under, I'd say.
21 and under.
And I think they're going to get the opportunity, aren't they, Joe, these young players to play. And especially over sort of the next 9 rounds, but definitely over the next sort of 12 to 13, 14 months, because there's no Prem Cup. Games are going to have to be, you know, put together, and there will be tight turnarounds for these teams. And I think it's a fantastic opportunity for players, young players, to get that chance in the Premiership. And I'm sure coaches will be more than willing to throw them in if they do perform over these next 9 weeks.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It's 6 games in 23 days, essentially, is what Declan Kidney said last week about London Irish. That's a lot of turnover. It's difficult to recover quickly, so you're going to see a lot of different names every week.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. It's just, I think more than anything, it's just going to be great to have rugby back.
Yeah, I mean, we've been missing it. We really have. I mean, New Zealand rugby's been great. I mean, yeah. I watched a few of the games since it launched.
Only on Saturdays.
Only on Saturdays, because the Sunday game seemed to be early. I've been enjoying that. We've been doing some great interviews around sort of the Championship and university rugby, and of course, sort of all the wider rugby topics on TRU. But to actually have been sort of the last 2-3 weeks or so getting stuck into some Premiership rugby again is exciting, and it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. I know there's talk of potentially bringing fans back at some point into these rugby grounds, which will be a much needed bonus for these clubs. But I think what's gone on this season, it won't be a 2019-20 season to look back on with any fondness whatsoever. But if you are a team that goes on and lifts the trophy, you won't give a care in the world. So it's exciting. The top four races up for grabs. Some fantastic new signings, some great new coaches in there, and can't wait for Friday night now, Joe.
Yeah. No, it's going to be good fun. And obviously all the games are on telly. So if you are missing the idea of being outside and watching the rugby with your friends, socially distanced in the garden with a telly out, I'd say.
Yeah. It's
probably the best thing I can suggest.
Or if your local pub has a big screen and you can all socially distance.
Yeah. But do it safely.
Yes.
Is the important thing. Wear a mask and have a straw up, maybe, with the pint. No, that sounds grim, actually. Thank you very much for watching, listening to this Talking Rugby Union podcast. We very much appreciate it. We hope that you're looking forward to the rugby coming back just as much as we are. And I'm sure you'll hear/see us next time.